was kind of loud. Anyway, we're going to play the Gary Burbank gig. He did a great job. So we're going to play that later on, right after my show. So if you're interested in listening to Gary Burbank, you know, Earl Pitts and all that sort of thing, if you're interested in listening to that, just stay on board. We're going to repeat the show right after my show. Interesting discussions. I always enjoy coming in. I come in and kind of, I guess I'm going to put air quotes around this, I kind of engineer Charlie's show. I turn him on and then I turn him off. Anyway, we have interesting discussions now that Scott is got the morning show, and I hope you're listening to the morning show. He's had some good guests, and I think it's a great time. I personally encouraged him to do the morning show, even though I'm sure I had no influence on him. But the morning show is really where radio lives, especially in the days gone by. When I was a kid, if you were the morning jock or you were the morning announcer or whatever they called him, that was probably the best gig that you could get in radio. And I really like that we are able to do that. And one of the things now with competitors dropping like flies as far as covering anything that goes on in Marion, I think it's a great slot for us to help you people find out what's going on in Marion. And if you can help us, we'd love to have help. I'm my second show, I do A Progressive Life, and that's the name of my both days, Wednesday and Thursday, from about 11:15, 11:20, somewhere around then, till 1 o'clock. I'm trying to get a second person to come in each week, just to give you an idea what's going on in Marion. Not the news. We get news and we have news on all the time, but I'm talking about what's personally happening, you know, for you and me in this little town called Marion, Ohio. It's not that little, believe it or not. I come from Athens. Athens was much smaller. Even when the students were there, we were smaller than Marion County. It's a nice little town, and we're going to try and give you, we give you politics. We're going to give you sports, we think. We'll talk about that later. We're going to tell you what's happening on around the community. Charlie knows everything that is anything in Marion County. So when you tune into Charlie from, 10:15 till right before my show, you'll find out everything that ever happened in Marion and some of the new stuff as well. Charlie, I hope you got home okay. He just took off and he's probably home already. But anyway, don't forget, Gary Burbank will be on right after this show. And from what I understand, it was a very, very good show. We got through the state fair, gave away everything under the sun. And I think a lot of people had a lot of fun with the trivia questions and getting their name in our plastic pot. anyway, we're today we're going to talk a little bit about, and it's not a laughing matter, the murders that happened in Dayton and also El Paso. I don't know if you've ever been to El Paso. I've been there when I was very young. I was there, I think I was 14 or 15. That was the only time I've been to El Paso. But it left a mark on my heart. I really enjoyed El Paso. My brother-in-law lived in Las Cruces, New Mexico, which wasn't too far. And we drove over to El Paso, Texas, and then went across the border. You didn't have to have a... what are they called? you could just walk over to Mexico. And one of the things I remember about going into Juarez, which was the town across the border, Juarez had lots of dentists in it. And I'm not a big fan of dentists. I have nothing against them personally. I just don't like to open my mouth and let people put metal grinding things into my mouth. I loved the town of El Paso. We were there, I think, in the spring, so it wasn't real hot. we just enjoyed a day of tourism. I can't say the word. We were tourists. And we got to see. It was kind of fun. I remember one of the things that I did that was illegal. You could buy fireworks in Juarez. And so I bought some fireworks and brought them across the border, and they asked if I had any contraband. And I don't know how they put it, but as a 14, 15-year-old kid, I wasn't a very good liar. But I told them I didn't and kind of stuttered it out. And I remember the border patrol guy looking at me like my mother would look at me when I told her a lie. But he let me go, and I think I bought some firecrackers or something like that. It was nothing serious. Which reminds me, did any of you hear all the fireworks going off over at the high school, or the former high school, the football field over there? I guess that's where it was last night, and I have no idea why it was going on. If you do know and you're interested in letting me know, our phone number here is 740-383-9944. It was kind of crazy. My doggie, she's not a spry young thing. She's 15, and she was not real happy with listening to fireworks. It wasn't even the 4th of July. So anyway, tomorrow, I just bring this up quickly. I'm going to try to have a gentleman on the air, and I'm not going to mention his name or his relationship to Marion unless he actually calls in. I'm not sure whether he can make it or not, but in a week we will. Well, hang on. We have a caller right now. Hang on. Hello, caller.
Hi, Glenn. They had a thing primarily for kids last night at right around Harding High School, Presidential Drive-In through there with, you know, hot dogs and drinks and bounce houses.
Great.
I think it was put on by the police department.
Scared the daylights out of my dog.
Yeah, from 6 to 9. Probably the fireworks were at 9 o'clock, probably.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. And all right. We're not that far from there, so my dog was up, had our hair standing up.
A lot of dogs don't like fireworks.
No.
You need to get one of those thunder blankets, I think they call them.
Absolutely. Well, hey, thanks a lot for calling in and letting us all know.
All righty.
Bye-bye. All right. Very good. I'm glad to know the answer to that. We did stay up a little late last night, my wife and I, watching some of the things about the shootings. And that's really kind of where I was going with this. And when I was in El Paso, I was struck with how nice the people were when we were down there. And even across the border, which I understand is not a great place to go now. There apparently are some gangs and stuff like that that kind of run the I don't want to say anything because I really don't know. I really enjoyed Juarez, and I really enjoyed El Paso. And I'm one of those people, I'm not a big fan of Texas. First of all, Texas tends to be a red state, which makes me not the biggest of fans, but it's so big. It's huge. You drive across Texas, it takes 14 days. Well, maybe not that long. Anyway, but it's so big, and it's usually when I've been there, it's hot and dusty and not the most beautiful place in the world. But there are some beautiful places. I loved Houston when I went there. Dallas is a nice city. I'm a city fan anyway, having come from the Chicago area. I just can't believe that a human being would drive 6 hours. I think that's what they said, 4 to 6 hours. He drove to come go to El Paso to target Hispanic people. And you know, he went to that mall because it was known as a Hispanic hangout, not a hangout, but it was a place that a lot of Hispanic people went to because it was so close to the border. And then to kill people, well, first of all, that's just, I can't even imagine. And I was a soldier, and even as a soldier, I struggled in basic training to think of myself as killing somebody. They taught us how to kill somebody 8 ways in 10 seconds with our bayonets. It just never seemed real to me, and thank God it wasn't real for me. I was lucky enough not to go to Vietnam. Anyway, I can't understand why we have so much hate in this country. And I know the president is getting a lot of fingers pointed at him. But if it's not in your heart, somebody can't drag it out, I don't think. So we all need to help each other start to care about each other, I believe. One of the things that really bothered me, I walk about 2.25, 2.5 miles every day, and I walked I walk the same route every day. And right after the mass shooting, and President Trump was getting all sorts of finger pointing at him for his less than quality rhetoric. There is a house on my walking. There is a house on my walking route that I wave to the people all the time. It's an older gentleman and an older woman, and I wave at them every time I see them out. And as I walk by the house the day after the shootings in El Paso, they're putting up a Trump sign. It just seemed to me that that was totally, I don't know. It seemed like they were trying to thumb their nose at the people that were blaming the bad rhetoric that Mr. Trump has spewed about Hispanics, people of color. Now, I understand that it's hard to know whether he means it or that he's so ignorant that he doesn't understand what he's saying, or he means it and he wants to cause these problems. But remember, we had similar problems back at the turn of the 20th century. Wars on the streets in New York. Because of people coming to this country that weren't German. They were Polish, or they were Italian, they were Catholic and not Protestant. We have to find a way to really enjoy each other's differences. And I'll tell you why. Because this country, after we get through that initial concern about somebody coming to take it away from us, we took it away from the American Indian, so I don't know why we worry about it. But we've got to find a way to embrace all of us that are coming to this country, whether they came last week or they came last century or they were, on the Mayflower. We've got to enjoy the diversity of the people that we have, because that is exactly what makes us great. I have a lot of friends that like to fly flags and they like to put their hand over their heart during the national anthem. If that is what you think shows that you're a patriot, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. I don't think you should demand other people do it. I don't think you have any right to demand what other people do as far as that goes. But true patriotism, to me, is embracing all the different ethnic, religious, thought, people that think different ways. That has made the United States the best country in the world. Not flying a flag, but joining with people from all over the world to make a country that is totally diverse. Now, I think I mentioned this on one of my shows earlier. My wife and I went out to California to see my son, who is a special ed teacher. That's not really what he is, but that's basically what he is. And he's also a vintner. He makes wine. Barrels and barrels and barrels of wine. He doesn't drink as much as he makes, thank goodness. But anyway, we went out there, and one of the joys in my heart was he was an all-state basketball player, an all-state soccer player, all-state baseball player. So he is a very good athlete. Anyway, one of the joys of that trip was going with him and his mother to Ventura to watch him play in a very big league basketball. And his entire team, I think he was one of two white people. There was one Asian, and the rest were African American or Hispanic. I was so proud that my son was on a team like that. And I think we should all be proud of the diversity of this country. And I've said it many times before, and I'm going to continue to say it. So if you don't like it, you may not want to listen to me, because I really think our diversity is what has made America great. And I'd say that's the major thing that has made our country great. Now, we've done some wonderful things for other nations, some of which we don't want to do anymore because it costs money, or we don't like the color of those other countries' skin, or we don't like that they speak Chinese or Japanese, or we don't like we can find all sorts of things that we don't like. But things that we don't like is a negative, and it's a thing that takes us down. It drags us down. What don't we like? Well, why should you concentrate on things you don't like? You can always work to make them better, but we should concentrate on the things that we do like. Things like, I love to see little babies smile. That's one of my biggest joys, is to see little babies smile. That's kind of odd, because when I was younger, that was not one of my big joys. But as an older guy, I absolutely love to see a little two-year-old running down the street with a big happy smile on his face and no problems, or at least none that he knows of yet. And we give him enough time, and mom and dad will certainly affect him in the way they teach him. Sometimes good, and unfortunately sometimes bad. Whatever you do, if you're a parent, try to always be positive with your kids. If you're negative with them, they'll be negative with you, and they'll be negative about other people. Be positive. That's one of the things I don't like about Mr. Trump. He's negative about other people. The only thing he's positive about is himself. He claims he's going to make America great again. And I don't think we ever were not great. And I believe we are great because of our diversity and our caring for other people. Those are two things I'm not certain our president cares about. Anyway, as I'm choking a little bit here, let's continue on. Now, the unfortunate murders in Dayton actually hit a lot closer to home than those in El Paso. Most of us, like I said, I was in El Paso when I was 14 or 15. Most of us in the Midwest don't get to El Paso and have no reference to El Paso. It's another country for us. Dayton is right down the road. Dayton hit home to a lot of Ohio people because they may know somebody in Dayton. I think most of us in Ohio, especially in central Ohio, know somebody from Dayton. One of the people that was killed was I think the sister that was killed was going to be at Wright State, and I have lots of friends who work at, well, I used to have a lot of friends that worked at Wright State. Matter of fact, Wright State was one of the schools that recruited my youngest son to play basketball. I had a lot of, I know he played with a young man who was a catcher for Wright State. And so that brings it a little closer to home. Most of us know somebody from that area. And to think that somebody can kill, I forget how many people he killed, but he killed enough people, I think, that it was, well, I'm not going to guess anymore. He killed an awful lot of people in, what, 30 to 50 seconds? If the police hadn't actually been in the neighborhood at the time, with that barrel, magazine, the barrel magazine that he had, he could have killed hundreds of people before anybody. He had, I believe he had body armor on. He really went whole hog. He had envisioned himself as a, I'm not sure whether it was him or the one in El Paso. No, I think it was him that had shooter's glasses on, had shooter earphones to protect his ears. I don't know what he was protecting himself from. He was going to get killed, most likely. I think if he hadn't, well, anyway, these shootings are so horrible. I think we've had over 260 shootings in the United States, and I heard somewhere that the nearest country to us, and I can't remember who it was, but I only have 10 mass shootings this year, and we have 260. That brings back one of my favorite, well, not favorite, least favorite topics, and that's gun violence. When I was running for office, I was against, well, I was for universal background checks, and I can't imagine that we don't have them. The fact that you might be disqualified to buy an AK-47 on the open market because you're too young or you have a felony or something along that line, but you can go out and buy at a yard sale, or you can go out and buy an AK-47 at one of those shows where they have used guns. That is just, and nobody knows you've got it. That's nuts. There are lots of sensible gun laws, and even some that aren't sensible that we need to take up. Bump stocks. Nothing's been done about bump stocks. There are a lot of people that shouldn't be carrying guns. I hate carrying concealed concealed carry laws. What we need is more people in bars with guns hidden. And down in Baton Rouge, apparently, two guys had a shootout because they were both, and they were legal, but they were both had carried concealed carry law rules, licenses, and they started shooting at each other, and they hurt an innocent person by them, not shooting each other. I just find that ridiculous. My wife and I were coming home from North Carolina the other day and went into Burger King. And we were in line, and my wife said, "That guy has a gun on." And there was a guy that had a bandana on his head with, you know, one of those rebel flag bandanas. And he had I don't know guns. I've had to train on them, and I've fired them, having been in the service. But I don't really know one from another. But it looked like a .45 automatic, semi-automatic, on his hip. And I think we were in Virginia at the time. I find that ridiculous. Why does somebody need a big, tough-looking guy? Why does he need a gun? Is he afraid that somebody's going to try and shoot him? Well, you know, one of the other problems that we have is we say good guys will stop bad guys if we're allowed to carry guns. That is BS. Unadulterated BS. Nobody tried to stop either of the shooters in Dayton or El Paso. Fortunately, the cops did. But if it's an open carry, I think Texas is open carry. I know that in Ohio you can carry, concealed carry if you have a license. Nobody stepped up and shot that guy but the cops, the people that are paid to do it. I do not believe most people would pull a gun on a guy. I know I can hear you saying it. Oh, I would. Well, that's also BS. I watched a video of an enactment of what would happen if a gun shooter would come into a classroom where they were allowed to carry. And he came, person that was supposedly the shooter came in, burst into the classroom, and started firing. Nobody had a moment's time to pull out their guns, and those that did reach for their guns were dead before, well, they weren't really dead. It was an enactment, but the shooter would have saw them and pulled the gun on them before they even had a chance to get the gun out, and they were all, and I put in air quotes up, they were all dead by that time. And most people were just frightened to death, even though they knew it was an enactment. So many people want to pretend like they're big, tough people, especially if they can strap a gun on, when in fact, if you want to show me how tough you are, don't have a gun and treat people like human beings. That makes you tough. Okay, we're getting a caller, and they're probably going to tell me I'm all wrong, but let's see. Hello, you're on the air.
Hello, been listening to you.
Yeah.
Just wondering what your position is on guns. I've heard just the last 5 minutes about,
okay,
self-defense being BS, but what is your position, that no one has guns?
No, absolutely not. I think hunters should have be able to carry a gun when they go hunting. I think a self-defense weapon in the house is not a bad idea. I just don't think we need all the proliferation. Boy, that's a hard word to say. Of the guns. I know there are guys that collect antique guns, and I don't mind if you're collecting an antique gun and you have 20 antique guns. I would suggest to you, you could put blocks in the barrels so that they don't become used. But no, I have nothing to get. I'm not a hunter. I have hunted when I was young. Didn't like it. I don't like killing things, anything. Wasn't a very good soldier. No. What do you think? What do you think we should allow people to have AK-47s and guns that will
with a muzzle velocity that will just, they don't just shoot a hole in you, they blow it off. What do you feel about it? And your answer could be just as right as anybody's. Hello? Nope. I've lost you. Well, if you'd like to call back, please feel free. I think that's a good question to ask. People should ask people like me, what is your position? Because if I'm afraid to say my position, and I'm not, I disagree with some people that think we should be able to carry military-style guns. And that's why we live in the United States of America, so that we can disagree with each other. I hope that we're smart enough to understand that these guns are killing people. I know a gun doesn't pull its own trigger. But if you don't, if a person that can't get that type of gun, he's not going to be able to pull the trigger, maybe 1.5 rounds per second? I don't know how fast your fingers are. Mine are getting kind of arthritic and slow, but if you can shoot one shot every second, you can kill 60 people in 1 minute. And I don't think we need that, but we definitely don't need bump stocks. Bump stocks are nothing more than turning a military style gun into a machine gun. We do have machine guns are outlawed. And for good reason. You can't buy an anti-aircraft gun for a good reason. There are lots of rules against certain types of guns. And so therefore, the thing that we're trying to stop all people from having guns is kind of not true and kind of stupid, because I don't know a single person like me who is, I consider myself a progressive, I don't know a single progressive that thinks we should stop hunting rifles or stop the opportunity to have a handgun in your house. I just don't think we need to strap it on our sides so that we can show everybody. First of all, I think it's a way to intimidate other people. I know I was intimidated with this guy with the gun on his hip. I, first of all, couldn't figure out why in the world he felt he needed one. He was a big enough guy that he wasn't going to use it. If he was, it was going to be in a bad situation for both him and whatever was around him. If you're that brave, don't wear a gun. Be brave enough to stand your ground without a gun. Let's see that. That's a little tougher. But I know guys have a great time going out and hunting. I don't. I don't want to shoot a deer. I don't want to I remember one time, I had a BB gun, and a robin flew up in front of me, and I shot that robin, and that robin kept flying, and I thought, that's kind of strange. Then he ran into the side of a barn and fell to his death, leaving a blood spot on the barn. I felt horrible. it's a living creature. It's alive, and I killed it for no reason. I will always think of myself less because I did that. I was pretty young, but I'm not going to blame it on anything but stupidity. I just don't understand why we love the gun in the United States. And I know a lot of people say the gun made us who we are. Well, I'm not so certain that's true, but yeah, we killed a lot of Native Americans. Yeah, we killed a lot of each other. The cowboys, westerns, if you listen to Donahue the other day, he loved Roy Rogers and Trigger. And I understand that. I did too. And I remember going out and strapping a cap pistol on my side and being Roy Rogers or whoever I thought I was. My wife would not allow my children to have a squirt gun. That's how far left my wife is. She makes me look like a crazy right winger. But there is no, I don't understand why we need to have guns. And the craziest, dumbest law in the world is to allow somebody to have a gun and carry it inside a bar. There is nothing good that's going to happen if a man or a woman has a gun strapped to their side in a bar. You tell me why somebody should have a gun strapped to their side in a bar. I know. People go into bars and don't drink. Oh, that's crazy. People go into bars and have never have any fights. That's crazy, too. Please, give me a break. All right. I hope I explained where I stand to the listener that called in. And I hope I didn't offend him or her or him. It was a him. I think he asks a good question. Where do I stand on guns? I stand that we should be able to have guns and be sensible about having guns. And I would ask all my friends who demand the Second Amendment be honored, I would like to point out to him it is honored, and it is not a slippery slope to say you can't have an AK-47 or any assault weapon or high velocity, a muzzle velocity weapon. You can still have, I believe we can get by with saying you can have a hunting rifle. You can, and a hunting rifle would be a very good defensive weapon at home if you're afraid. I suppose a pistol in a home is not a bad thing. It should be locked up. It shouldn't be anywhere where a kid can have it. But you know, the crazy thing about that is if you have it locked up so that your kid won't kill himself, and by the way, there are more children that are killed by guns there in their own homes than any other way. But if you're going to do that, please have it locked up. And if you're going to have it locked up, how quick can you get to it if somebody bashes down your door and runs in? I know bad guys carry guns, but if we cut back on the number of guns, slowly but surely, and I know it'll be painfully slow, we will have less and less guns out there to be used by the bad guys. Now, down in Australia, they just pretty much did away with guns overnight. You could have a hunting weapon, and any other weapons that you had to explain why you needed them, from what I understand. And they haven't had any mass shootings since then. They had one that caused that, and it was actually put into force by a governor of the or whatever they call the head guy in Australia. It was put into force by a person who liked guns, liked carrying guns, was a hunter. but felt that if you have so many guns out there that everybody has one, and they have all different types of guns, it's going to come to no good. We all know that, especially farmers, need a gun to scare off the varmint, if you'll excuse the expression. I also know a lot of people that do hunt and do enjoy hunting. And I used to enjoy fishing. I do not enjoy fishing anymore. I just don't like killing living beings. Anything that's alive should stay alive, unless... And I know I'm not a vegetarian, and my wife and I keep looking at each other while we having a hamburger saying, well, we're killing animals. And yes, we are. And I have no answer to that hypocrisy. I just can't stand soy burgers. And I understand we are at the top of the food chain, and we're going to eat other animals because we are not vegetarians. We are whatever it's called when you eat both vegetables and animals. So being at the top of the food chain, if you're going to eat what you shoot or eat what you fish, that's a completely different story than just blowing its brains out so you can stick its tail up on the wall, like one of the sons of our president. Anyway, I just don't understand, and I really don't like seeing heads of deer up on wall. If you ate that deer, okay, I understand that. That was something that you harvested. But if you just shot it so you could cut its head off, I find that hard to justify, and I never will do that. It doesn't make me better than you, honest. It does, I don't honestly think I'm better. I'm different, and we are all different. And that's what makes the United States of America a wonderful place to live, work, pray, if you believe in that, eat fish, eat beef. It makes America wonderful is that we have such a diverse population with all the different choices and thoughts, from a Sikh to a Muslim to a Christian to a Jew to an atheist like me. And a lot of people have asked me, if you're an atheist, what stops you from killing other people? Well, listen to what I'm saying. I don't want to kill anything. The humanity in my heart keeps me from killing people. There are some people that I think probably we'd be better off without, but I'm sure as heck not going to kill them. And I don't understand. And another thing I don't understand is we got to find out why most of these people that are shooting up so many people in a cowardly way are shooting them, and they're in their 20s, and they're usually male. Now, what have we done wrong between the time that cute little 2-year-old sitting on mom's lap to the time they're 25 years old or maybe a little older? What have we done to them to make them want to go out and kill other people or kill anything? Anyway, I always think to myself, I shouldn't get up on this soapbox, but that's what a radio show is all about. I'm on a soapbox, and I enjoy being able to talk to you, and I'm glad to have people call me, and I'm glad to have people disagree with me. You're absolutely right to disagree with me if you think that I'm wrong. That's why we're a wonderful country. Anyway, we're running out of time. I hope you tune in tomorrow. I'm going to try to have a gentleman on that was at Woodstock, and we're going to talk about that. If he can make it, I'm not going to promise anything, but we're going to try. I hope I hope you tune in then. You're listening to Glenn Coble on It's a Progressive Life, and I hope you will tune in tomorrow.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LPFM, Marion, Ohio, the place for the best guests and talk. From Joey Diori at WGN's Bozo the Clown.
Before we wrap up, I'll ask, and you can or can't, can you do something in the Bozo voice for those people?